This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Joe, I'm one of the weird ones. I still look at every box score every morning in the NBA. I still care. But a lot of people around these parts, they have lost interest. Post-LeBron, they were excited about young kids. And there's always look, every NBA team has young kids that are having nice nights and you feel like you can build around. But what happened in this story about Kevin Love where you ended up writing a quote that was kind of harmful towards Colin Sexton? And it feels like it's the third straight year we've had a story like that regarding a young, talented player like Colin Sexton.
Well, first of all, I think this is the first time I've been on your show since Ken did me the very, very big square of providing his voiceover for a story I did on The Athletic where Ken actually read a letter from prison about what it's like to take a class from Stan Van Gundy. So I really have to say thank you for that.
Joe, perfect fit.
First off, Joe, when you said this is the first time I've been on your show since Ken, I go, oh, boy. I didn't know where that was going. So, and I, because I'm going, man, what did I say? Because I did say, I got angry in the last segment. I did say, listen, this isn't against Joe Varner what he said. Because I called it a hit piece, and I did, and I think that's unfair to you because people could take that as that's a hit piece by the author. I just got upset that, you know, you're talking to Cavs players, Joe, and it's questions about Kevin Love, and all of a sudden, well, Colin Sexton's tough to play with. And I'm going, no, okay, all right. But me as a fan, I'm trying to look into the future. And I'm like, hey, Colin Sexton isn't necessarily Dr. J, but boy, he's working his ass off over there. And if I were Colin Sexton, I might be a little frustrated too, personally. I can kind of sympathize with where he's at. So that's where I was coming from on that, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, I mean, you know, Colin's had it. He's had it rough in these three. I think it's 3 years now. And I've always admired him for his mental toughness and his ability to kind of shake these things off that come his way. That line that you're talking about and everybody's talking about, it indeed was buried in. It was buried in a story about Kevin, and it was something that I've certainly at least had said before this season. I can't remember if I had written it anywhere, but, an aggregator or two picked it up and it blew up. I mean, it's true, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, those things happen. That's something that opponents do to some of the Cavs on a regular basis, but it's more like, it's like mental warfare there, right? Like they know this is a point of frustration within the Cavs locker room. And so they kind of do it to exploit that. I don't think there's any question that Colin has worked hard to grow his game and expand what it is that he does. And, you know, the other funny thing is in that piece, and we could talk about like why Colin came up at all, But in that piece, like we say, that Colin has proven to be a legitimate NBA scorer. And I think that matters. I mean, he is not he's not a flop. Like and when you consider like where he was drafted and how the Cavs got that pick, and then, you know, they refused to trade it at the 2018 deadline, you know, in what turned out to be LeBron's last run here. You know, all of that pressure is on Colin. And I mean, I feel like he's shown, that he can play in this league. And we say that, but you know, there is a very large decision coming, that the Cavs have, and it absolutely plays into the chemistry and the future and the team building as we go forward. And that's whether or not to offer him an extension. And, you know, like for as celebrated as Colin's stats are within the Cavs organization, you know, he still does have the issues that have plagued him internally with that team for years. And I mean, you know, part of it's him and part of it is jealousy on the part of some of the other guys. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways to break that down, but you know, that story was about Kevin and how he's behaving and the Cavs and how they have chosen to deal with him versus how they've dealt with literally every other player in their organization who has caused the problem. And there's a very clear difference.
Yeah, I thought about this too. Joe Varden joining us from The Athletic. Find him on Twitter. Joe's fantastic. And one of the things that I'm having a problem with, Joe, is like we had the same problem with Mike Holmgren with the Browns where people wanted answers because, you know, say, well, it's a 5-year plan and then Mike Holmgren never wanted to talk to anybody. And, yeah. You know, hey, he can tell Chris as much as he wants to ghostwrite for him, but, I got to get some answers straight from the person here. Like, with KPJ, what happens with KPJ where you bring him in, you know he's got problems, then immediately get rid of him? And yeah, I could try to take a shortcut and say the 50-point game. Okay, it's a one-off game. It's a whatever. It's a fantastic performance by him. But, you know, you take guys, you say you want to give them a chance. What are some of the circumstances that you can tell us? What are some of the other things that you can give us? Why should I believe that this is the proper route to go? What other than a statement can you tell me why you brought in Anderson Varejão really 4 years after his career ended? Like, these are things I want to know. I want to understand. I really want to understand here. And I feel I'm being shortchanged as a fan.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that. Being, you know, far removed from the process compared to where I used to be when it was my job to be a beat writer on the Cavs beat. You know, what I hear about the Cavs, not all, but a lot of it is just like kind of reading the coverage along with everybody else. And, you know, I have noticed, that time and again, when something that would require an explanation, you just don't get one. You just, there's just simply no, availability on the part of upper management. And I've wondered about that, and I've wondered about, you know, how fans feel about it, and you know, I pointed that out as well, that I believe that the lone in season availability was after the trade for Jared Allen and Taurean Prince, which was just simply a layup, no brainer, home run, fantastic move that cost them nothing trade, and so that's an easy night or day or morning, whenever he did it, to take some questions. And, you know, but there's been a lot that's gone on, right? I mean, you sent two players home, and then, you know, either traded them or handed them a buyout. One of your first round picks, has lost a second consecutive season to surgery. You know, you've got, Matt Dellavedova. I mean, he set an NBA record for games missed due to concussion, and the list goes on and on, you know, the Varejão thing is another example, and where I don't know that the answers are great, you know, like if there's a question to be asked, then like the answers are kind of hard to come by. And so the questions just don't get to be asked, I guess. And, you know, I mean, you look at Andy, like he, you know, it's almost frustrating to have to say this. I mean, cause I've seen some of the tweets of the celebratory stuff. I mean, Andy Varejão is awesome. Like he is an awesome dude. He lives right by a couple blocks away from me here in Bay Village.
Congratulations.
Wow, you live in Bay Village? Wow. You live in Bay Village?
Man, the NBA beat's been good to you.
I guess so, yeah. But just great guy. Great piece of Cavs history. Like, certainly cemented place in Cavs history, whether they ever brought him back or not. No doubt about that. Like, so it's like, you know, and he's been good to every single person he's ever met here and certainly in the media. And so you feel really crummy about pointing out that this is this just seems like a gimmick that's just not necessary. And you wonder if it's appropriate. And you know, they had a real chance to bring him back. Like, remember, I think it was in 17, Andrew Bogut blew out his Achilles like 4 seconds into playing for the Cavs. Like, they needed another guy, and Andy was available. They could have gotten him. They didn't do it. You know, in that 2018 run, I mean, there were open roster spots that they filled on the last day of the regular season, heading into the playoffs. They could have done that with Andy. I mean, those are 15th guy type things, and he was still playing at the time. I don't know if he's played basketball. I don't even know if he's picked up a basketball in a year. I mean, the last I saw him, we were in China. At the World Cup, he was playing for Brazil, but that, I mean, gosh, that was in 2019. And so you just say, well, why do this now this way, where he's going to have an actual roster spot with 2 weeks left and play games? And I think it goes back to Ken, what you were talking about at the top, is just, it's kind of a, I don't know, like a, almost like a distraction from what's really going on. And, you know, you just hate to have to say that, but I think somebody needs to, right?
All right, Joe Vardon joined us on the hotline. I understand the sentiment there. Let's turn the page and let's assume everything goes great and they end up with the way they're going to lose almost every game here at the end of the season. While other teams are attempting to lose too, it's going to be a hot race for lotto balls, as it always is. They've gotten unlucky the last few years after unparalleled luck, you know, earlier in the decade and decade before. With all of that said, let's say they get Cade Cunningham. Let's say they get a stud. Let's say it's Evan Mobley. What happens, Joe, that they still have Kevin Love on this roster, that Kevin Love's going to come into training camp all excited to be a part of something, and then he's going to mope 10 games in, and we're going to go through this again? How does the organization deal with Kevin Love going forward?
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that way, because, again, that was the piece. That is the number one issue on the Cavs, and it's messy on both sides, and it has everything to do with that contract. It's keeping Kevin. It's keeping the Cavs from being able to deal with him in the way that they've dealt with others, and it is keeping Kevin from being able to move on, you know, and go to a greener pasture the way that all of his teammates from the championship years did. And the only legitimate way out of this, guys, the only one, is for Kevin to be the player that he was, or close, when they gave him that extension. That's it. He has to be able to prove to a buyer, a potential buyer, that he would be worth that the remainder of his contract. And he can't do that without playing, staying healthy, exhibiting a good attitude. You know, and the thing is that James Harden got what he wanted this year without showing a good attitude at all. I mean, he quit on his team. He was terrible. He poisoned that locker room in Houston and got his wish and went to Brooklyn. But before that, he didn't have those attitude problems, you know, and he was an exemplary player, never had injury issues, all that stuff. The reason why Kevin has to show that he can keep it together, like as a teammate, is because of his injury issues. Like, because he's been so plagued by injuries, and because in that time these things have come up again and again, Now, that's another thing that he has to do. I think he can do it. I believe in him. And, you know, so, like, let's hope that they do luck out in this lottery and they get Cade or whoever. And now, you know, you've got Colin and Darius and the new rookie and, you know, Jared Allen's there. That's great. And then you've got Kevin Love. I mean, he just has to come in and be the player that they
– He's not – Joe, we know it's not going to happen, though. I hate to cut you off and we run out of time. It's just not going to happen, Joe. It's something that we all can see. We all can see that he wants to be somewhere else. Now it got brought up that he'd like to be back home in Portland, which was – hey, I can't blame him for that. But, dude, you signed this contract. You have $60 million left. We get that you're miserable. And then in the offseason, you know, he's going to make the rounds and do all the great stuff that he does for mental health. I get that. At the same time, I just know how this is going to end. It's going to be him in a bad mood again next year when they're not winning a lot of games.
Right. Well, that's fine. I mean, you asked me, like, what happens and that – or what is the way that this works, and that is the only way. So I guess we're saying then that this can't work. Well, if that's true, then you've got – what, two more years of misery, or you start to pay him to go away? What, try to work out a buyout next March, I guess. I mean, that's it. There's no trade market for Kevin Love. Zero, none. Can't be done. He has to prove it on the floor. So, you know, if he can't keep it together, then I guess we're just looking at, you know, another year of unhappiness all the way around.
Joe Vardon, he's one of the finest. I really do mean that. Find him on Twitter, at Joe Vardon. Joe, thank you very much for the time, bud.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Joe Vardon. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Joe Vardon, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Okay, we got to talk bat flips real quick. And then coming up at 9, we go around the AFC North. Up next, hey, I love bat flips. I just don't know if anybody can do them. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.